Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Welcome back. If history is any indicator, today's show is going to be phenomenal. And you will be up to date on what's going on in the movie business, network television, the latest happenings in the entertainment industry, the latest on Conan O'Brien, which is quite interesting. Watched the new show. Mm-hmm. Went back to Letterman because I wanted to see what was going on there, mm-hmm. too. And nothing has changed at Letterman. Right. He's still great.
As he should.
And then I went back for a brief segment on... Conan on the Tonight Show, mm-hmm. and just noticed there was a general lower of the energy level on that show.
Than in the beginning,
he was very laid back in his interviews, not really all the hype and energy that it had to begin with.
What's always bugged me a bit about Conan and his interview style is he always brings it back to himself, and it's all about the guest and making allowing them to talk and making them look good, as Carson used to do and as Letterman does. But Conan tends to become a part of the interview. He gets to be a part of the funny stuff, and that affected me this way, and I'm over here, and it's kind of like, wait a minute. It kind of takes the shine off of the guest there.
He had Eddie Murphy on, that's who it was, earlier in the week, and it was almost like he wasn't prepared to ask the right questions.
Really?
Yeah, it was almost like Murphy kind of said, what the heck's going on here?
Really?
Yeah, and I thought that was rather strange, because we do a lot of interviews, and there are some times that we're more prepared than others, and I felt like this was not totally he was not totally prepared on this one.
But we're prepared today, Alex.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, by the way, I think the Advertising Show, I haven't said this yet, is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Mm-hmm. Visit online at adage.com, and by Captivate Network. Our good friends there, visit them at captivate.com. Advertising shows, a big Radio Midgets production. We've got just a few moments away, and this is actually from her new book, Jean Bliss, and she's talking about Apple today and the way Apple does business and their stores and just the whole thing. So
great example.
Listen for that, and a little bit later on, PR for PR and social media, how those two connect. Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence. So a lot of good reasons to stay with the Advertising Show today. And I wanted to talk about, if we can, a Bing, B-I-N-G.
Crosby.
Not Crosby. No, it's a different Bing.
Bing.
It's basically, it's a new search engine from Google, or from Microsoft, I should say.
Microsoft.
And basically what it is they're suggesting that Bing brings market share gains for Microsoft.
Wow.
Early gains in the share of Internet research following the launch of the Bing search engine. And a related advertising blitz. Have you seen any of the commercials for that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Meanwhile, Google boosted its effort to invade Microsoft's turf with a new product that lets customers of Microsoft Outlook access Google's calendar and email service through the program. Thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
According to a study by research firm ComScore Inc., Microsoft gained about 2 percentage points in two measures of the U.S. Internet search market. Since the company introduced Bing late last month, Microsoft's share of search results pages, a measure of the intensity of search activity by the online users, rose to 11% between June 2nd and June 6th, from 9.1% between May 26th and May 30th. So this is interesting. Well, we'll have to see where Bing goes.
And then there's Wolfram Alpha. That's the big deal right now. Wolfram Alpha.
Wolfram, okay.
Alpha.
Okay.
It's a new site, new search engine, I should say, that is out there to solve any problems you may have. Go to it, Google it, or Google it, or just go to wolframalpha.com. You'll see it, and it'll solve any problems you can present to it, assuming that that's in the database. It's been a big buzz lately, and supposed to give
Google.
I think
they need a new name.
Give Google their run for their money. Yeah, they should
Wolfram
have been.
Wolfram Alpha.
It's difficult. It's a European company that's come out with this. I think that you're right. It could have come out with a better, more memorable name.
Yeah.
Yes. And plus, they don't have everything sewed up yet. I mean, you can't solve every problem.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Here's a company with a good name. It's called Apple.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Jean Bliss.
When Apple was planning its stores, they envisioned a place of community and belonging, which triggered decisions that have made Apple stores the destinations they have become today. Why, for example, can anyone use the bathrooms in Apple stores to establish community and belonging? Why does Apple hire people of all ages and backgrounds to build community and belonging? Why did it put in Genius Bars to build community and belonging? When there is a clear purpose that shapes and guides decisions, the pieces connect to deliver an outcome greater than any one single action. Apple stores were the fastest growing retail operation to ever reach $1 billion in annual revenues, taking just 3 years to reach that mark. Clarity of purpose also creates and keeps engaged employees serving your customers. Of Apple's 16,000 retail employees, only 20% per year leave, compared to a 50% average for the retail industry. This clarity begins at home, inside the four walls of your company. Walk your halls and ask 10 people to define your higher purpose with customers. What kind of answers would you get?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Jean Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights from major U.S. market leaders, Jean is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Jean's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
That is actually taken from Gene's brand new book that'll be coming out soon. We'll tell you more about that as well.
Yeah.
All about Apple. And always a great pleasure to have Gene as a part of the advertising show. A lot of people along the way we've had participate. Gene is a real gem as far as what she provides and some good insight as well. So thank you very much.
We've had a lot of comments also from listeners that agree with us. So that's not just our thoughts.
Alex Ben Block on the way today. If you don't know Alex, I'll tell you briefly about him. Basically, a senior columnist for Hollywood Today, an online news magazine, and editor of an upcoming almanac of great movies from the past 100 years for George Lucas Books, and a noted show business historian as well. He's been heard in the past 5 years on the NPR affiliate KPCC-FM's Call Sheet in Southern California, the nationally syndicated radio show, The Advertising Show. That's great. Hey, we made his bio. How about that? He was the editor of two Hollywood trades, The Reporter and Television Week, as well as the associate editor of Forbes, editor-in-chief of E-Star, a movie critic in Miami, lived in Detroit. He's been all over the place. So.
Yeah.
Also wrote a book called The Legend of Bruce Lee. So.
Plus he wrote something about Fox.
Yeah.
Murdoch.
It's, well, where is that there? It's there somewhere. Yeah, I just don't see it. This is a long bio.
The Hidden World of Rupert Murdoch. No, I don't know what that, but it was about Rupert and Fox. It's a great book. Okay. Google him. You'll see it.
Yeah, yeah. Alex Ben Block is with us today here at the Advertising Show, which is being powered by Shipple.com. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L. And a marketing platform called Tendency. It is absolutely killer. Check it out. It's what the Advertising Show runs on. It's even better than vitamin B1. Yeah, for your website. Kind of good stuff. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Hope you stay with us.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn. Or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Nobody can call George Whipple an old fuddy-duddy. This new sign is right up with the times. Maybe this will stop the ladies from squeezing Charmin bathroom.
Back with a very special guest and a very good friend of The Advertising Show, Alex Benblock. Alex, it is great to have you here.
Always a pleasure to be here.
And you always bring us up to date about everything going on in the entertainment industry
and more.
And I understand you were out late earlier in the week at a big wing ding at a HBO party talking True Blood. Yeah,
that's right. I was at the Paramount Pictures Theater, and on the lot they had a screening of the first two episodes of the second season of True Blood, and then a very nice party afterwards on a tent on the lawn out there. And they announced that True Blood is now the most successful series in the history of HBO after Sopranos and Sex and the City. So think of every other series you've ever seen. This is now the most successful after those two shows.
Wow.
This, of course, comes from Alan Ball, who's a very well-known producer. And he's a very well-known gay also in Hollywood. And he kind of creates this world where the vampires are like humans in many ways. You know, there's the law-abiding vampires, and then there are those who are not law-abiding and are out for power, money, and blood. And so it's a very complicated world, and sexy, violent, over-the-top in many ways. But based on the Charlene Harris Stokey Stackhouse novels, these vampires are the kind of the hunks you see at the beach. Only a little more pale than that, they don't come out in the sunlight.
So I assume that they are defining most successful series as all TV programs do through ratings, correct?
Yes. They do their own rating system of how many people view in. And because HBO is a pay service, what they're looking for is customer satisfaction. And they also look at the ratings for that. And this show apparently has built a really loyal audience.
So would a vampire use a tanning bed instead? Is that what you're saying, Alex?
Well, actually, in this, what they do is instead of real blood, they use artificial blood so that the nice vampires don't have to kill anybody.
Oh, that's nice.
Only in California, of course. So where's that set out of True Blood, by the way?
Louisiana.
Yeah. I have got to check that out. I'm a laggard in that area, so we'll check out True Blood here in their second season. Television networks trimmed down, beefing up for fall, I suppose. Bring us up to date with the network presentations.
Well, you know, it's an interesting year. All of the networks are kind of on tender hooks because the audience declined again, depending on which network you were, anywhere from 5 to 15% last year. With those viewers going mostly to cable or in some cases going to satellite or I suppose onto the internet. So this year they come back with a lot of pretty broad stroke shows and really kind of a commitment to delivering broad entertainment to the American audiences. But the buyers at the upfront this year were a little queasy about the whole thing and they've been slow to make commitments. I think everybody agrees the biggest gamble of any network is the Jay Leno show. You know, of course, Jay has finished his run on The Tonight Show and been replaced by Conan O'Brien. Let's talk about him in a minute. But Jay Leno in September, they've announced now a start date, I believe, about September 15th, which is a week before the rest of the regular season on NBC, will launch a five-night-a-week, one-hour show. Now, there's all kinds of weird stuff going on with this. They're now saying it won't be a celebrity show. It's going to be a comedy show. There's a lot of nervousness about it. And part of it is Conan O'Brien. They're trying to make sure that they want the big stars to go to his show. They're trying to protect the Tonight franchise. But what happened in the first week, and we don't really know if this is going to be the long-term trend, was that Conan started with huge ratings.
Sure.
Tremendous audience. And then it went down each night until now it's down to a low enough level that David Letterman is beating him on many nights, which, of course, with Jay Leno hadn't happened in many, many months, and then only occasionally.
So, you know, is it the energy level? Because it certainly can't be the lack of a stellar guest that they've got on there.
I don't know. I haven't seen the research. I personally think that his kind of comedy is more intellectual and kind of less in the gut. And also, a lot of people tuned into Jay Leno just to hear the monologue, to hear him take on the politicians. And Conan doesn't do quite the same thing. He's got kind of a different style. And so I think the urgency to watch the show isn't the same as it was.
Well, you know, when Leno first took over, Letterman was a little more competitive. In times he would beat Leno, and then Leno settled in and consistently beat Letterman. I think Letterman was wise to not react to any of the changes, Alex, that was taking place at The Tonight Show, continuing to do what he had always done best. And frankly, Ray and I talked about this on the show a few weeks ago, I was surprised that Conan has pretty much just, reissued his old show at a new time slot, and I'm not seeing a whole lot of different execution or content than you saw an hour later.
Yeah.
I agree with him. You know, when Letterman first moved from late night to 11:30, he did change. He kind of broadened out his comedy.
Right.
He took a little bit different approach in order to be right for 11:30. Conan hasn't done that. Conan's basically, as you said, telling the audience, this is who I am, come enjoy it.
Right.
But he's not really changing from the kind of quirky, intellectual guy he was in late night.
Well, staying with the network-by-network breakdown, that's what's happening at NBC and a little bit of late night with Letterman. What's going to be happening with the other networks this fall?
All right, well, CBS, you know, is the number one network in terms of overall audience. It competes with Fox for number one in the demographic, the 18 to 49 audience. So they didn't need nearly as much programming to fill their schedule. Remember, this also was the first year that there was no writer's strike, and so they had a full development season. So CBS is adding a new situation comedy to its very successful Monday night comedy block called Accidentally on Purpose. They also have a spinoff of their popular Navy procedural investigative show, NCIS. This one is NCIS Los Angeles, and will lead out of the original in terms of programming. Also, a couple of more dramas for fall buyers that were really good notices so far. Something called Three Rivers, another one called The Good Wife. In addition to all the scripted stuff, CBS also has probably the most talked about reality show coming in mid-season. It's called Undercover Boss, and you can guess what that one is. And so CBS is in pretty good shape. They're coming back with a lot of pretty strong shows.
On the Advertising Show, our very special guest, Alex Ben Block, Hollywood reporter. We're talking movies, network television, the latest happenings in the entertainment industry here at the Advertising Show. Hope you enjoy it. Stay tuned for more.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through.
Back with our
USA.
Special guest out of L.A. America's it is Alex Ben Block here at The Advertising Show. Welcome back, Alex.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you know, primetime Emmys, I understand, are moving it up a week to avoid being tackled, no pun intended there, again in the ratings. Talk a little bit about that, Alex.
Well, last year's primetime Emmys was one of the worst shows in history, and it was up against a very strong football game and got some of the lowest ratings in history. So it was time to do something. CBS this year has the show. The TV Academy has worked with them trying to figure out what they can do, and we have a new producer. But the big problem, again, was the date. NBC Sunday Night Football is a very serious competitor for the Emmys when they go up against each other. And they were scheduled to go in the middle of September, I think on the 21st. And at that date was also when the New York Giants, I believe, are going to go play the Dallas Cowboys in their new stadium in a very highly anticipated game. And it was clear this would once again, as you say, tackle the Emmys and leave them in the dust. So after studying that, they decided to move it up a week. And they also moved up. They're leaving the non-televised Emmys on the 13th and having the primetime televised Emmys on the 14th. And there's also a football game that night, but they consider it's Minnesota and somebody else, and they think that it's going to be a much less competition. So this is the last Emmys before they have to negotiate a new contract with the networks for future carriage. So getting it right, getting good ratings, is going to be very important to the TV Academy, an organization in North Hollywood, California, that does very good work in many different areas, and almost all of their funding depends on the Emmy show. So they're hoping that the Emmys will bounce back and then get a good deal for the future.
Any expectation for the... There we are. Right. Hello, test.
Put you back up.
Yeah, well, thank you. Any expectation for the Emmys to maybe move to cable from the broadcast networks?
It's not impossible, but it remains unlikely. What they have now is what's called a wheel, which is the four different networks have for over 8 years shared the telecast. And the idea is you want those networks to participate and cooperate, send their stars, enter the contest. And if you move it to cable, the broadcast might decide to just give it the cold shoulder. And maybe they won't even enter their shows. And it'll become less and less important. And so unlike, say, a beauty contest where you can move it to cable and it doesn't really make that much difference, in this case, if you lose the cooperation of those broadcast networks, I'm not sure you have a show anymore. So last time around, 7 years ago when they negotiated this deal, HBO came in with a huge offer, and they turned it down in favor of sticking with those networks. And at this point, you got to understand the TV Academy is a pretty conservative bunch anyway. They would prefer to stay with the networks. There might be a way that they do rebroadcast. So if or multiple broadcasts. So if the show is on, say, NBC that year, maybe it would also be on Bravo. Or if it was on ABC, maybe it's also on ABC Family Network. Maybe it's also on one of their cable or internet outlets. And so they're looking at broadening it out. But it's very important to keep those big players in if you want to have a show at all.
Hmm. You know, when it comes to the movie business, I guess 3D is the hot word this year. Any impact on broadcast television for 3D?
Well, there is a tremendous amount of development going on for 3D for the home. Panasonic is a leader. I saw a 103-inch Panasonic screen in 3D that was startlingly good.
Hmm.
But you have to watch it in a dark room. You have to wear the glasses. And so all of that is coming. But at the moment, the big impact of 3D is not at home. It's in the theaters. 3D has turned out to be what they're calling the killer app of movie exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, where they thought digital was going to be important, it hasn't been that important. But what makes digital important is when you add 3D, because people are coming out 2, 3, 4 to 1. They pick 3D over 2D pictures when given the choice, and they'll pay a fairly substantial premium on top of the normal ticket price in order to watch it in 3D. So this is a bonanza for exhibitors. You can imagine how happy they are. And so there's a whole ton of 3D movies coming. This summer we've still got Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs coming in July.
Yeah.
You know, the Harry Potter and Half-Blood Prince will be coming up. And Toy Story is being reissued in 3D. There's Halloween 3D coming. A new issue of Disney's A Christmas Carol is coming. And then the biggie of them all in December, scheduled, I believe, for December 18th, is Avatar. And this is the director, James Cameron, who gave us Titanic, his first feature-length fictional movie since Titanic. And it's going to be a combination of computer-generated characters who seem to be human, what they're calling a humanoid kind of race, and also real characters like Sigourney Weaver and Sam Worthington and Michelle Rodriguez and other people. This picture, some people say, is now going to cost $300 million, and it's being projected as the most important movie this Christmas in terms of the box office, and it's all about 3D.
Well, hold tight, because we'll get you to weigh in on the Screen Actors Guild deal that was earlier this week.
On the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. Stay with us. Back in just a minute.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
It's a real thing in the back of your mind. What you're hoping to find.
Welcome back. Our special guest today here at The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, Alex Benblock out of L.A. Welcome back, Alex.
Thanks so much.
So SAG got their deal done. Bring us up to date, Alex.
Well, after a year without a contract, the unionized actors in Hollywood, or those represented by the Screen Actors Guild, which is by far the largest guild, with about 120,000 actor members, 9 months after negotiations really kind of heated up again and broke down a few times, they finally have overwhelmingly voted yes on a new contract. They get a raise of a little over 3%, but the big issue was over new media and how they're compensated in terms of residuals, those after-the-show payments in addition to their original salary. And when an actor is on a series, that series repeats on television, they get a pretty substantial check for that first residual. When it plays on the Internet, they don't get a substantial check. And at this point, even with the new rules, for instance, the first 17 days of the TV or movie is on, they get no payment at all. After that, they get small payments depending on how many times it's seen. But it's not going to be nearly as much as they're used to getting from rebroadcast on network or even syndicated television. Hmm. But look, the economy is in crisis. Most actors are out of work anyway, and especially now. The networks have cut back on scripted programming. The movie companies have cut back on the number of movies they're making and are emphasizing more of these big tentpole movies. And so this is not a time for actors to be going out on strike. And despite a very divisive battle within the union between those who wanted to vote it down and those who wanted to vote for it, 78% of those who voted, and they had an unusually large turnout of voters, have approved that contract. So at least for the next 2 years, it appears that we'll have labor peace in Hollywood.
Hmm. The TV Critics Association nominations are in for best TV shows of this year. Are you a part of that association, and do you get a vote, Alex?
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Can you bring us up to date on the shows nominated?
I can. Let me tell you about that. The television critics are important because they don't, you know, it's not just about ratings. It's really about what they think of the very best shows, the most important shows. And if you are a fan of The Shield, which had its final season on FX, then you're going to be happy to hear that The Shield got the most nominations of any television show, earning 4, including Program of the Year. NBC may have struggled in the ratings, and the critics have knocked some new programs, but they still love 30 Rock, and they gave 11 nominations for 30 Rock, The Office, and Saturday Night Live.
Really?
HBO also did well. They got about 6 nominations and dominated the movie and miniseries category. And for Program of the Year, the critics like the serialized dramas, and the nominees include Battlestar Galactica, ABC's Lost, Mad Men on AMC, a winner of many awards, The Shield, and NBC's Saturday Night Live.
Wow. Well, it'll be interesting to hear things to come there and see, get your predictions as we get closer to that date. When will that...
It'll be announced August 1st in Pasadena, California during the TV Critics Tour, and they're going to have a show hosted by Chelsea Handler of the E! Network.
Huh. Well, one last question that's near and dear to Ray and my heart, and that is, what in the world ever happened to TV theme music, Alex?
Well, you know, it's a sad thing, but this business of people clicking around the dial, you know, as soon as you see the credits, you start clicking to see what else is on, or you go to the bathroom or whatever it is. The networks are just desperate to keep you in the chair, and so they keep trying to shorten it up. So you may have noticed now there's less of the names of the people who put the show together, and often those rolling credits are done along with content and graphics. Mm-hmm. Well, for the very same reason, there's less and less time to have a TV theme like we used to.
Right.
Remember how great they were? I mean, I once went on a cruise where we spent hours just singing the jingles to each other from these things.
Wow.
But because of the shortness of time, because of their worry about people tuning out, there's much less emphasis on theme music. And I think it's a great loss for all of us.
They use a lot of that time to promo the program that is up and coming or some future program on the network.
Absolutely.
And
it's a waste.
Yeah.
Or even during the shows now with the crawls on the bottom. That's, you know, Good use of time in a roundabout way for promo and stuff.
You know what I really hate are those cable networks who burn into the side of the thing near their logo something that tells you about some show coming up in a week or something.
Yeah, like it's we're going to
so
remember.
It's annoying that they just leave it up there the whole hour.
Right.
I'm enjoying the reminder that digital cable is coming. Digital cable is coming. It's like, yeah, it's coming. It should be here, but
officially by now everybody should be converted.
Right.
Supposedly at the time of conversion there were still 2 or 3 million people who somehow were so knuckleheaded that they didn't get the message.
I'm sorry,
but I did get the coupon from the government. I went out and bought one of those boxes for one of my TV sets that is on a regular antenna. And, you know, it improved the signal about 1,000%.
Wow.
And I get a whole bunch of extra channels I never even knew existed. And I'm so glad I did it.
Well, a little sidebar, and you probably know this, Alex. The state of Hawaii is the only state that actually converted on the original deadline to digital, and then the rest of it. So it's become kind of the one to look to on how to do it right. The other 49 states are still struggling with it.
We've been digital. We've been digital since 2001. At least that's when we started the M show. So that's a good thing, right? Hey, Alex, we're out of time, and we always appreciate you dropping by here. Thank you so much for the update.
I'm happy to talk with you guys and continue success.
On the advertising show, Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, back in just a minute.
Smart marketers are discovering a new and better way to get creative solutions. One company got solutions for a corporate identity program in less than 36 hours. The second got solutions for a public relations campaign that won 2 International Creative Awards. The third got solutions for a direct marketing campaign that got a 30% response rate. These marketers are finding creative solutions in a better way. The Open Ad Way. You go to openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 creators. Within days, you get 20 or more creative solutions, and you pay only for the solutions you use. It's a radical new idea. You owe it to yourself to discover what it can mean to have creative solutions on demand. Find out now by going to openad.net, openad.net. Creative solutions on demand.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Button up your overcoat when the wind is free. Take good care of your
Always a pleasure with Alex Van Block along for the ride here at The Advertising Show. TheAdvertisingShow.com. It's a great destination anytime. You don't have to listen to it just today. You can share it with a friend and I'll do all that kind of stuff. We're kind of portable here, and that's a good thing. We are Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Joe Philport is with us next week, by the way. Joe is CEO and president of the TAB, the Traffic Audit Bureau. He'll be auditing the show as well while we do the interview, so hopefully our books are up to speed.
And we got a lot of traffic.
Speaking of traffic and books up to speed, regional GM dealers get creative to clear out the inventory. It's got to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. In the months leading up to General Motors filing for bankruptcy, executives of the automaker warned that Americans wouldn't buy new cars and trucks from a car company in bankruptcy. Oh. Well, that's probably a good idea. But GM dealers are reporting a mixed bag when it comes to traffic and new vehicle sales since the auto giant filed for restructuring. On June 1, deals abound. The dealers are getting creative. One is even throwing a Pontiac out to pasture. Put Pontiac out to pasture.
Right.
And one getting out of Dodge sale.
Well, who's got it worse? I mean, think about a Chrysler dealer that's getting shut down, and you're going to go buy from a dealer that you know will not be there to service the vehicle.
Hope you have a good mechanic, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, even to get warranty work, you're going to have to go to a competitor, which I'm sure they'll honor it, of course, as they would any deal.
But they wouldn't take good care of you, maybe. Joe Self, a Chevrolet and the Cadillac dealer in Wichita, said in May it was his best new car sales month all year. Our traffic the first week in June has been normal. We're not seeing a big business interruption. Go figure.
Well, it's long been known that companies that specialize in handling going out of business sales.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go in. They had a story
on NPR
when one of the electronic chains went out of business. They had record-setting sales as they go out of business sales.
Sure.
One of the first things they do with that company is they have them mark up all of their merchandise So they can begin to mark it down for the going out of business sale. Yeah.
Yes, there's a rug company that I can think of that does that as well.
They've been going out of business for decades.
Yes, they have. Have a nice day. And get smart. PR and social media is what Shamin Abbas is talking about today. Let's listen.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
PR and social media. I was recently at a client event when I overheard a couple of 20-somethings avidly discussing Facebook and Second Life. It seems sometimes that these social networking media have replaced real-world relationships in a way that's almost unfathomable to anyone who did not grow up with over 100 basic cable channels, incessant texting, emailing and trolling the web. But the social media represent a business opportunity in addition to bragging rights of how many people will have friended you. For those of us in publicity or advertising, it's another medium for outreach, as long as you use it well and study its internal culture before leaping in. Brand Week ran a story this past spring about some marketers failing on Second Life, whilst others have done really well. The defining reason for the failure these real-world giants had is that they approached marketing products and services in the same way they would a traditional marketing channel. And Second Lifers don't care. In fact, more than 70% of Second Life users said they are disappointed with the marketing in their virtual community, according to the research firm that conducted the study. While some companies have done innovative work, the majority of those marketing on Second Life put something up and then clearly never return. Because of this, Second Lifers are skeptical of marketing on the site. They expect more creativity, more inspiration, and not the traditional vertical influence of the 60-second spot. In fact, 42% of all respondents doubted companies would actually put much follow-up effort into the site at all. Whether it's Facebook, Second Life, MySpace, or the myriad of community sites out there, you must study your audience's habits, understand their unique online culture, and what appeals to them. If they love you, they'll spread the word. If you blunder, they'll tell everyone and they won't mince words. For a publicist, websites like Facebook are great tools, both for making friends in the media and for reaching out to groups to publicize a client's events. We've had great success with event turnout when we've covered both bases through traditional Evites and Facebook announcements to the right groups of members and friends. If you bring the right client to the right audience in the right way, success is inevitable.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Thanks once again to Shamin Abbas here at the Advertising Show. PR and social media is what you talked about today. It's good stuff.
You know, if you're thinking about a website, you want to think thoroughly through on the name of your website. Usually it reflects your company, and we've talked about this several months ago. I think it's time to repeat, or not repeat, but to add a few. These are legitimate companies that didn't quite spend enough time in thinking through their URL. One company is PennIsland.com, which is penis land, if you were to look at it online, penland.com, or Penn Island, I should say. And another one is called expertsexchange.com, which, of course, becomes expertsexchange when you look at it online. There are some others out there. You know, whorepresents.com, which, you know, kind of like a legal company or whatever, ends up be whorepresents. If you don't look at what you're doing, .com. So anyway, be careful out there. You get your URL, because your company may look good on the moniker there, but once you get the .com and pull the words together, you got to be careful.
I always get out a kick out of the ones that you can't actually translate them into something that somebody might remember.
Right.
Yeah. Dashes don't work. Numbers for letters don't work.
I've never understood why anybody would put a dash in a URL to begin with.
I don't understand that either.
Yeah.
Maybe they just got a good grade in English and they needed it there.
I mean, could you imagine talking about it? And it's dash.com, and then so people put D-A-S-H.
D-A-S-H, exactly. But not here. The Advertising Show brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at edage.com. That's easy. And by Captivate Network. Visit them at captivate.com. Well, that's another easy one, too. And the Advertising Show, well, you should know how to spell that, shouldn't you? Is a big radio midgets production.